Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
The Michael K. Show.
The great Darren Orlovsky spent a lot of his holiday weekend studying tape of Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback.
Jones with time, goes for the end zone.
Foundationally, he's much more talented than certainly I had anticipated him coming out of Duke.
Jones over the top, it is caught and taken in for a Giants touchdown.
You've got to have NFL accuracy. And Daniel Jones, when he had to play versus man coverage last year, he was outstanding with his accuracy.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Can he be a great quarterback in the NFL? Can the Giants win a Super Bowl with him?
I think the Giants can win a Super Bowl with him. I don't know if he can be a great quarterback.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Strong words by our very own Darren Orlovsky talking about Daniel Jones. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. The owners and the players in baseball are talking today, or the players' union. And from everything I'm hearing, the owners are off the 50-50 split, which the players were diametrically opposed. And it seems like the players know that they're going to have to take some sort of a percentage cut. That's just the way it is. Playing in front of empty stadiums, the owners are not going to make the money they thought they were going to make. So there does seem to be a solvable ground, so to speak. When's it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Well, I've been saying from the beginning, last week it's going to be dire. It's going to look real negative. This week is moving week. I think it will get done. I believe there will be baseball in July. How it will work out, I don't know. But I think there will be baseball in July. So we'll see, and we'll see if there's a sticking point where one side says, no, that's just not doable, and they walk away from the table. I just think there's too much at stake to walk away from the table.
I mean, when you see the numbers, and again, we don't know how you're going to monetize it in the post-coronavirus world, but the numbers for the Tiger and Phil golf, enormous.
Highest NASCAR. Ever for a golf match, highest ever for a golf match on cable.
NASCAR has gotten incredible numbers for a sport that was dying out, has got a resurgence. People are watching. They had three races in 8 days, and the numbers were incredible for them. So the people are out there dying for something to watch. So I think the Stanley Cup and the NBA numbers are going to be astronomical, and baseball's got to get on that. You know, 'cause if they're sitting on the sidelines watching everybody else get great numbers and get all the attention, then even when you do come back, Michael, are you going to be the trailer? Are you going to be like way behind everybody else? Because everybody all caught up in something else to watch. So you've got some steep competition, man. And not just with the major sports, but like I said, if golf and NASCAR are able to get great numbers, Peter, I'm sure the wrestling's doing great. My brother tells me how good the numbers have been. The pay-per-view numbers have been solid. You know, you've got a lot of competition out there, man.
Well, I will tell you this. If baseball could get it done this week or the beginning of next week, they'll be the first major sport back. And that will mean something because basketball and hockey are going to be after the beginning of July, and that would be a good look for them. It would be a terrible look if they don't play and the other sports do play. So we'll see. As we mentioned at the start of the show, Governor Murphy of New Jersey said that teams could start working out at their facilities. Giants and the Jets haven't gotten all clear yet because the NFL doesn't want any team to be ahead of other teams. So we'll see about that. And Governor Cuomo over the weekend said that teams in New York could start to be at their facility as well with the proper distancing. Now, RJ, if we could bring Andrew in for just a moment,
we
get him in.
Big guest.
I came up with what I think is a great idea. So I've been seeing some of the KBO games, and they have cutouts of fans in the stands to give it a look of more than just an empty seat. So I actually emailed this to somebody at the Yankees, and I think that every team should do it. You get all the fans of your team to contact the team and donate $20. And that $20 will go directly to COVID-19 relief. And what you get for that $20, you send in a headshot. The team then blows up the headshot to the size of a normal head, and they have bodies, cut out bodies in all the seats in the stands that are viewable on camera. And you put fans' heads on the bodies. So it becomes a thing. Will their face get on the game today? Will the camera show them? Will they be seen? And for $20, you're raising money to help feed people that are having difficulty, for help people pay their bills that are having difficulty. If 30 major league teams did this, can you imagine the amount of money that could be actually raised for people that really need it? I think it's a no-lose situation. What do you think?
Is Andrew answering? Or
Andrew, I've got to ask Andrew about the crowds. But
I'm sorry. I think it's a terrific idea. Why not, Michael? I got the biggest kick out of on social media. John Shambi got a cutout, and they put it in the stadium. Yep. I just thought that was kind of cool. And listen, I sent a picture, my baby picture to him, and he put it up, and it kind of created some interest. I wanted to then watch to see if I ended up on camera. I mean, people would love that. It would create ratings in the $20. If you get how many people, Michael, would do it? They'd be talking about tens of thousands of dollars for relief.
I'd like to say this, Mr. K. What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard. At no point during your rambling and your incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone listening is now dumber for having listened to it.
You're out of your mind.
And may God have mercy on your soul. What are you talking about? Do you know how much work it would take to be able to blow the faces up and put them on actual? Are you saying on actual dolls?
No, not dolls. No, cutouts of bodies.
Okay, so you're saying they fill each stadium with
cutouts?
Well,
that's what they're doing in Korea.
But they're filling it, or they have random ones?
Like, I just said that you could put it where camera shots would be, where the low third is, the high home.
Just a few hundred.
Well, whatever. If there's 10,000 people that want to do it, you get 10,000 cardboard bodies.
Michael, like a lot of work don't listen to him. It was great that he quoted from Billy Madison, which I thought was terrific.
Thank you. But I think it's brilliant.
I thought you were going to say, because I completely agree, it's one of the great ideas he's ever had.
That's what I thought. I mean, Peter's out of his mind. Anyway, let's bring in Andrew, because Andrew was watching a German soccer match today, and he was telling us that they actually piped in fake crowd noise. So, Andrew, how did that work? How did it seem as you were watching the game?
So it was Bayern Munich versus Borussia Dortmund, which was a huge game. And they said they were talking about piping in crowd noise. And I don't know if people fully expected what that would entail, if it would just be kind of like a dull sound of like a crowd in the background. But they actually went to the lengths of not just having the fans singing the kind of songs and chanting the way that they would, but they went to the lengths of tailoring the crowd noise to the moments that were occurring on the field. So like if there was like a rush in attack forward, like they would have crowd noise ready for how a crowd would respond to that. When there was a shot, they had like the oohs and ahs of a shot. It was actually, it's a little bit of a weird adjustment at first, because you see an empty stadium and then you hear all that. So you're aware of what's going on, but there are moments where you're sucked into the game. It's a big game and you hear all this and you kind of go through these stretches where you do sort of forget that it's an empty stadium, and it just felt like you were watching a huge game.
So it didn't come off as fugazi at all to you?
I mean, well, inherently it is fugazi. There's zero people in the stadium, and you're hearing like blaring crowd noise. So it is fugazi. I don't want to imply that like we don't need fans, that the game's atmosphere can just live on its own off a soundboard. But I mean, it was really impressive in the way that they kind of lead you down a path as though there's people there, and you really do forget about it.
Now, can that be an Emmy category, guys, where it's like the Ambient Noise Award goes to?
Absolutely, it would.
Because it sounds to me like if done well, it could be great, and if it's not done well, it could really come off as bad. So there can actually be a talent behind I think Peter in our pre-show meeting talked about it. You're like a musician, where you just know what notes to hit at the right time. It could become a thing.
Now, Andrew, I'm curious. A big soccer game like this, clothes on when you watch this or not?
What? I don't understand at all.
Fully clothed.
You did? Okay.
This wasn't an Eagles game.
That would be nude.
Right. That's full nudity. But no, this is just it happened to be a huge, potentially title deciding German game today. So it was a big game, but no, I still wore clothes for it.
Right, that's a good. Enough. That was a good idea, and you like the idea of the weird cardboard cutouts in the seats.
Me, actually, no. I think that's creepier to me than fake crowd noise.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm glad we're simpatico on this.
Oh, but noise coming from nothing.
Yes,
that's not off-putting. But no. Actually, seeing like fans' faces, happy faces, that's you off-putting. Don't like.
But think about the reason you see it. I am with you. That I don't like the cardboard cutout. It's disconcerting. I think it's stupid, and it really just plays to the ignorance of people. But if it's going to be there, and then you put faces of people that donated money, you don't think there'd be somebody like, I'm not really interested in this game, but I did send my picture. I want to see if it made it on there. I want to see if I can see my face on television. People certainly would.
Don, you know what? When people don't get it, and they aren't bright like we are, we just move on. That's okay.
Okay.
They don't have to get it. Thank you, Andrew, so much.
You're welcome.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. We start with Eric in Ronkonkoma. Eric.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. That's an interesting idea with the stands on there, but I could just say that if I had my face on there and the camera went through it, it would probably short out the wires like what happened with Don's microphone there. But
oh,
I don't know. But anyway,
you sound handsome.
You do sound handsome.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Listen, he kind of sounds like a past competitor of ours, to be honest with you.
Well, oh, really?
No, I don't think so.
All right, go.
Listen, I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days, you know, because with the, you know, we know what the structures are generally going to be for hockey and basketball and potentially baseball if it gets going on there. What, if any, effect does it have on you guys? For example, Michael, you know, you being commentator, you know, with the Yankees, mm-hmm. and everything, there hasn't really been much mention of that. I mean, because you're gonna have obviously basketball looking like one location. You're having a tournament for the hockey and potentially a half season for the baseball. But even the structure of the divisions are different. So I mean, is there any are they going to be like full, cast crews going
well,
on?
Well, from what we're, I don't think anything is in, set in stone yet, Eric. But from what I'm hearing, the home team broadcasters will either do the game from the stadium, the empty stadium, separated by booths because the visiting announcers won't be there. And then when your team goes on the road, you'll be at a facility where you can see the monitor. And you'll do the game off the monitor. That's pretty much it. I don't think broadcasters are going to travel.
Yeah, from what I hear, basketball and hockey, at least from a local standpoint, will not be in the hub cities. So they'll be doing it off a monitor because that's less people have to worry about in the hub cities, right?
Yeah, you want to have fewer people travel.
And media will not be allowed in, to my knowledge, either, because they can't control the media. Remember, you're going to be, from the NHL's plan, they're going to be tested twice a week. You can't control the media, so outside of taking temperatures, they're not going to let anybody else in. It's not been tested at least a couple of days before they're in there. And, Peter, I don't know if you knew this. My brother let me know about, I guess there was a wrestling pay-per-view this weekend.
Mm-hmm. AEW had one. Yep.
My brother got an email of a link. It wasn't Zoom, but it was Zoom-like for the media, where you hit a button to raise your hand, and then you can ask a question. So they had like a press conference, Michael, on like a Skype, FaceTime type of deal. Mm. I think that's how it's going to go with the media. I don't think the media is going to be allowed in the hub cities, and they'll have access from afar.
Now, I wonder what will happen in baseball, because I would assume that Meredith Marakovich for YES would have to be at the ballpark, at least at Yankee Stadium, to conduct those interviews, and it would have to be from 6 to 10 feet away. But what would happen on the road? Would Meredith travel? Because how would she do her job from a studio where she gets somebody coming off the field after a big hit? I'm not sure how that's going to work. Again, everything is still fluid. They're trying to decide, but it just does seem that broadcasting crews will either have the option of being in the stadium or in the studio, but on the road, they're always going to be on the, in the studio and never traveling. Let's go to Pat, way out in Oregon. What's up, Pat?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. Up, how Pat? Are you, Pat?
I'm doing well. Michael Kay, I just owe you, well, all of you guys, huge fan, first off. Used to go to Queens College and moved out here. But Michael,
isn't that where Jerry Seinfeld went?
Yes, it is. Yes, yep. And Paul Simon, too. I think they did better than I did. your story about the Fordham election was actually life-changing for me, Michael Kay. So
wow.
I just want to say thank you so much.
Tell me why.
In what way? Because you realized he was a bad guy and you shouldn't listen to him anymore.
That's right.
Absolutely wrong. Incorrect,
okay.
Peter.
Okay.
You know, he's got the chutzpah, the gumption to stand up for himself. And he knew what he wanted. He went after it. And unfortunately, I'm in a position where I'm about to lose my job, I think, because of COVID.
Sorry.
And I've been taking orders from people and doing things that I'm just, like, unhappy with for a long time. And I don't know. It inspired me to just kind of do what I think is right. So thank you, Michael Kay.
So you're going to go out there and quit your job and take a gamble because of Michael Kay.
Well, I didn't say I'm going to quit my job, but I'm anticipating. I'm a teacher out here. Unfortunately, the writing's on the wall that there's going to be a massive cutbacks. Mm.
And well, stepping on people is not gumption to me, Pat. So
I didn't step on anybody.
He didn't step. He stuck up for himself. He wanted. He knew what he wanted. And I guess the only question I have, Michael, regarding the election, was it sort of like unspoken that the junior should have that position for senior year?
Well, the junior should run, and then you would probably wait. Now, the only reason that I ran and Joe ran as a sophomore, there wasn't a junior that wanted the position. Otherwise, you just step back and let the junior go.
So Charlie should not have run.
Charlie, and he didn't.
You threatened him and bullied him.
You know what? Charlie is flaunting a world championship ring from the Nationals. He's done just fine.
Well, we didn't say that.
We remain great friends.
He persevered. But, I mean, the caller using the word chutzpah, it's like saying John Gotti, you know, or Tony Soprano had chutzpah.
They both did have chutzpah, by the way.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just one way of putting intimidation tactics and just sort of threatening, Don. That's just not the way
there's a right and a wrong way to do things. That's all.
And that was the right way.
And how you get there, I should not determine whether it was right or wrong.
Let's go to Tom and Brick. Tom.
Hey, Mike. This is Tom. I'm calling from Brick, New Jersey.
What's going on?
Love the show. You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
I love Peter, but I can't agree with him on this fans in the stands, the cardboard cutouts. Before Michael finished his sentence, I thought it was a brilliant idea. I have kids in Little League Baseball, and what the Little League does, they have cardboard cutouts, like huge size heads of the player, and you just look for the kid in the cardboard cutout in the stands whenever you're watching these Little League Baseball games, because I think it brings interest to the younger generation. I think it was a great idea, Michael. I think it's a win-win all the way around.
Thank you. So you support me and you support Don, and you actually went the right way. You know what I'll do? I'm going to probably, Don, if that's something that they do, I'll donate $1,000 and have all pictures of Charlie and Callie.
That's great.
A whole section of them.
Yeah. Oh, line driving to the Charlie section.
And think of the great stories you could have. Like if you had a family member that died during this tragedy, right? And you wanted to donate some money, and their favorite team were the Yankees or the Mets, and have their picture behind. Come on, that would be a great story. You're a storyteller, Michael. You probably would love to say that story. You know that face you see there behind the dugout. That's so and so who unfortunately passed away to COVID-19. His family donated $10,000. So that he could be remembered. That's great stuff.
See, now you're getting even weirder, though. So you're saying you're going to have the faces of people who are no longer with us in the crowd?
Yeah, but maybe your grandpa was a big Yankee fan.
I don't know, man.
You're a killjoy. Why don't you take the rest of the show?
You know, for somebody that I really would have said dares to be great on a second to second basis.
Thank you, Don.
Why you would just take a knee on something like so glorious?
I just think it's a little weird, and I can't believe you even for a second, Michael, would think the sound being piped in is weird. It sounds so normal when you watch the TV with the sound you expect
listen,
to hear.
Listen, I could probably deal with the sound. I think it's strange.
How
I
can think you think that's strange and not listen, cardboard cutouts of fake people? It's
none
weird.
Of this is normal. But here's what I don't understand about your reticence about this. You're raising money.
That
yes.
part I like.
Great cause.
Okay, but just because
so you have to throw people. Sometimes you have to throw people a bone to give money away.
Now listen, I'm all for the raising money part. I'm just saying, of all the ways to raise money that way, while I'd still support it because it's a good cause, is a little creepy looking. That's all.
Well,
whereas
I'm
the audio
put another
sounds
$1,000 in, and have your ugly skull behind home plate, like 500 Peterheads.
That's really nice of you. Thank you.
Let's go to Todd in Mineola. He also thinks it's a brilliant idea. Right, Todd?
I do think it's a brilliant idea. I'd like to throw my hat in the ring. First of all, I'd like to call it COVID cutouts. And I'd like to open the company that would accept these donations to distribute it to the right places. I'd like to be on your emails that you're sending out to teams, Michael.
Look at that. Wow. Well, I only sent it out to the Yankees. Because, I mean,
well,
the person I was dealing with, the Yankees, said that's a really good idea. She was going to take it up to the top and see what the thought was.
Can you keep me in mind? COVID cutouts is what it should be called, and we should put these in every stadium in Major League Baseball. I think it's a brilliant idea.
I would
do it in all sports.
Yeah,
behind the glass from the benches in the NHL, you can probably have them courtside for basketball.
Sometimes I shock myself.
Give credit where credit's due, Peter. This is a tremendous idea. Climb aboard.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast.
Look what we have here. Michael K. hates lists.
List stink.
Now he wants to take over Donnie's top five list.
Strap on. Strap it in.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, K. Let's see what you got.
Come at me, nerds. Come at me.
It's the Daily Mike. Take it away, Michael.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
It's like When Pat Sajak took over for Chuck Woolery. Chuck Woolery was actually the first Wheel of Fortune host. Did very well. Don's done great. So we're going to start off with a Don-inspired list.
Okay.
We're going to go with the top five Don LaGreca rants.
So you went easy. All right.
No, but it wasn't that easy because there's been so many great ones. How many days, RJ, has there been without a rant?
We right now are, I believe, at 174.
174. That's over 5 months.
Yeah, 200. Here we come.
Unbelievable.
All right, so the top five Don LaGreca rants. Don, why don't you start?
All right, I will start, and I will say the fix that, look at this garbage rant, would be, I think, number one.
Well, I thought of that.
Wow.
But it did not make the top five.
Wow, Peter.
Did not make the top five.
Wow.
Well, I'm surprised. I know one that did, and that would be Ed Cranepool.
Ed Cranepool is the number one Don rant. Let's listen to some of it.
I bring up Ed Cranepool because poor Ed Cranepool came up when he was 17 years old, spent his entire career as a Met. When David Wright was breaking every offensive record, he was breaking Ed Cranepool's records, Michael. Ed Cranepool. That's your guy. That's your forever guy. Not Ruth. Not Gehrig. Not Mantle. Not DiMaggio. Not Berra. Not Jeter. Not Pettit. Not Andujar. Not Torres. Not Reyes. Judge. Not Bird.
Not Bird.
Ed Cranepool.
That's number one.
Cranepool.
Number one. There you have it.
There's 90% of this audience right now that couldn't pick Ed Cranepool out of a lineup. If Ed Cranepool picked them up at the airport, they'd say, "Hey, dude, what's your name? Can you take me to Midtown? You played for the Met? That's cool, man. When did you play for the Met? That's awesome, dude. That's your forever player. Ed bleeping Cranepool."
I
That's
love
number one. That's number one, Peter.
I'm very good. Thank you. And I just love that when he's naming great players, he ran out of great players and mentioned Ronald Torres and Greg Bird.
Well, all right, Don. In the moment, Greg Bird wasn't.
Don, next.
How about the Matt Forte?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought of it.
Oh, my God.
But it did not make the list. Tell me who I'm going to take out. When you hear the whole list, tell me who I take out.
All right, I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing because you know what? Maybe I'm a little too close to it, you know? Because I got my personal favorites, but I don't know what resonates with everybody.
All right, Peter, you go.
I'm guessing you didn't include Smack Your Face Dead as a rant, because that was simply him becoming dangerous and maniacal.
I thought of it.
Dead.
But it did not make it. Right. Don.
I was thinking about the Jose Reyes.
Number rant. Two, Jose Reyes. Let's listen.
Before I rip and break this computer.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
We know Jose Reyes beat his wife. That's the difference. That's the answer. We know. We don't know if the World War II veteran did it, but we know Reyes did. We know Reyes did. We know Reyes did.
Number two.
Honestly, it's more insane in retrospect.
Yeah.
Than I think any of us could have realized. It's actually alarming when you go back and listen to it.
Peter talked over the throw too.
Yeah. You have another one, Peter?
What about recently? What about Gil?
I thought about it. Didn't make the list.
Wow. These are some epic ones that did not make the list.
Wow, there's so many great ones. Don.
Now, these are only just Michael K. show, right? Because I had some great ones back in the day.
Well, you arguing with Nancy didn't make the list.
No, come on. I did do shows that had nothing to do with you, Michael.
I did notice as I was going through a lot of these, a lot of the rants take place when I'm not there.
Oh, very so then the golf is garbage?
You know, I thought about it.
Wow.
But it did not make the list.
Now,
it,
the fact that Mark Teixeira was there like a scared bird, Peter, I think really made that rant.
Right. Understandably.
I was dancing around the studio, and Teixeira's like, what kind of maniac did I agree to work with?
That's right. He still says right. That.
When you were at the stadium, Steve from Brooklyn.
Oh, yes, number three. Not at the stadium, at Citi Field.
Citi Field, sorry.
Let's listen to this. This almost was number one for a point, but I said Ed has to be number one. Let's listen to Steve from Brooklyn.
How is your life completely derailed to the point where you can actually have a playoff team that's won three in a row and your mood is being affected in a negative way because your home run hitter wasn't pinched hit for in the ninth inning?
That's
Steve,
right.
Get because your priorities in order, brother.
If he had a decent, kind heart, he would
brother, come on, take a look at the news. Watch the news for 5 minutes, Steve, and then tell me that your life is awful. You're a clown, Steve. I'm tired of the clown show. Tired of it. You've got a playoff team. You got a team that's won three in a row, and you're miserable because you love being miserable because that's what you're about. You're a clown, Steve. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of you wasting our time on the air with your clown shoe garbage. Tired of it. Michael might want to entertain it. I'm tired with it. Lose the number, Steve. Tired of it.
And he goes on to say,
yeah.
I'm done with him. Steve is banned. And then ends it with this. He's a filthy human piece of garbage. That's how he ended it to a caller.
Wow.
That was number three.
Don, was I wrong? God, I just had one and it slipped my mind as I was luxuriating into my past.
By the way, I got to tell you, if we get one more right, this has never happened. They've never all been guessed in sequential order, one to five. If we get the next one right.
Start.
Oh, I just, oh, the Pythagorean theorem says.
You know, I thought about it, but it did not make the list.
Don cannot get one right.
Has got one right.
No, I did. I got the, I don't know, what was number two again?
Reyes.
I got the Jose Reyes. God, Peter, we've really run through some.
Peter, you want to bail him out here?
I can't believe Matt Forte didn't make it.
No golf is garbage. That's incredible.
Who are you taking out?
Well, we got to hear the other two yet.
I don't know. There's an article. I'm, now, I'll admit I'm cheating. I'm looking right now. There's an article here on Bleacher Report at some point that said, shame on LaGreca for acting like this.
Wow. Should I just give the next two?
Oh, I'd hate to, for you to do that. Come on. Well, let's get... can you give us an era? Can you give us a time frame?
One is a football-based one. The other one is an Islander-based one.
Football-based...
Oh, the Islander-based is Are You Watching?
Let's listen to number five, Are You Watching?
But are you watching? Yeah, I'm the one guy that is.
He's lost it now.
No, I'm just, that's what drives me crazy.
You
couldn't say, Don, I respectfully disagree. I think this, and then we can get into a discussion. Are you watching? Yeah. I'm watching more Islander games than every single person on this floor except DiPietro.
I can't. That's the one you take off, by the way.
You want? Oh, no. You said earlier. He goes on more. You just said, cut it off there.
You said earlier. What's the one you take off? I think that's the one. Don, no. Don, what do you think?
I mean, the ones. How? The golf is garbage. I think is better.
You want to guess the fourth one?
What about?
That was five then, right? So four.
That was five.
Football. I've been watching it for 40 years. 40.
But that's the Pythagorean theorem.
That's the Pythagorean theorem.
That's got to be on there, Peter, right?
It's a shame that it's not.
You know, I did a lot of work on this. Don't question me. Give up on number four?
What about answer it? What did answer it come from?
Answer it is number four, Peter. Patriots Steelers. Let's listen.
Who's better, the Patriots or the Steelers?
No.
Who's better, the Patriots or the Steelers, dude? Who's better, the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New England Patriots? Answer the question. Answer it!
Right now?
Answer it! For God's sakes, three times I've asked you, who's better, the Patriots or the Steelers?
The Steelers. The Steelers right now, the Steelers are the better team. Anybody who watches football will tell you that New England, this is a building year.
Goodbye. Will you please hit the button, for God's sakes, Michael? I'm screaming at the guy for 10 minutes.
I thought you wanted to discuss it with him.
Oh, my God.
I got jumped there, Peter. That's what made that number four.
I think that's the only one that was pre-Peter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that really
go over the top five? Ed Cranepool.
Of course.
Right, Peter.
Number two is Jose Reyes, we know.
Peter.
Number three, Steve from Brooklyn. I'm tired of the clown show, you filthy human piece of garbage. Number four, Patriot Steelers. Answer it. Please hit the button. And number five, are you watching?
Your face, Michael, during the video of Steve, when Don's screaming in public at this restaurant.
McFadden's.
Public of Jay's, because I'm sure no one was there at that time. And you're leaning forward, almost mortified, as Don's losing his mind.
Yeah, there are times where Michael is clearly entertained. Right? That was one time where he was not.
I mean, No. I don't think that anything that I do there helps the cause. You become the transcendent star, the breakout star of the show. You become Fonzie on Happy Days. I sit back and let it happen. I don't betray it with my facial expression. I let you the stage.
That's true. Well, he does.
I did that with Peter, with the guy Ray from North Carolina, because the guy brought up some salient points. I just let him go.
Peter,
thank you.
I think he did a great job, did the work. I thought it was tremendous.
He did.
I think... Look at this garbage has to replace Are You Watching?
Yeah.
Look at this garbage!
I think so, too.
Now, I have four more lists that I made, although this is only a four-day week for us. So now I'm going to have to cut one of the lists out. But I've got some beauties. Beauties.
It was not a bad start, though, Michael.
Do you see the work that has to go into it? I mean, obviously, you did the work. You were able to get the sound, right? So... Do you at least acknowledge that there's a lot of work that has to be done with these things?
Not pretty much a layup. Anyway, when we come back, last one standing.
Oh, that's right.
And then Don later on is going to have a tale from his own crib. And also,
right.
Mike Brownshire with the intro, I didn't want to do this. Don wanted to do this. I didn't want to make lists.
Don went away from it, and you brought it back up and said you wanted to do it.
I did not.
Don?
Well, originally, you didn't want to do it. We were right. going to do it. You even sent a text out like weekend saying, did we make a decision yet? Are we doing it? And you didn't want to do it. Then it came back up again. And this time, I think you really wanted to do it. Right, Peter?
See, there's a little
I don't think
bit
you
want
to do it permanently.
George Ramos just tweeted out, He listened to the segment. I just peed my pants in my truck. That's not good.
Well, the end result's not good, but the fact that he found it funny's good.
Sid Jost once said, "This is the greatest list ever. Kate just dropped the mic and retired like Jordan and Elway. Championship." That's what he said. I don't know what that means. Paul said, saying, "You know, I thought about it. It's so awesome. LOL." Chris Nealon thinks that the filthy human piece of garbage should be number one. Greatest rant ever.
I thought about it.
Honestly, did you think about any of the ones that you said
yes,
you thought about?
Oh, I had them all written down. And then I meditated on it, and I came up with these five.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Today, two opponents enter.
I hate Don.
I'm Don LaGreca, sidekick to Michael K.
Only one makes it out.
Let's go with Don!
Who will win this deadly competition where the standings don't matter?
What?
We find out.
Okay.
In the latest edition of Last One Standing.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Last One Standing.
Peter, can I jump in for one moment? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no.
At 5 o'clock, we are going to talk in depth. Gary Bettman has announced that the NHL regular season is over, and they will go with a 2014 playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And several writers who cover baseball said that the negotiations between the owners and the players went absolutely off the rails terribly today.
Uh-oh.
And does not look good. Again, it's all part of the process. I wouldn't get too discouraged at this point. They seem like they're saying they might not be able to recover from this. I think it's all posturing. I think that when the end is in sight, they'll probably come to a different thought. But we'll talk in depth about that at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Last week, Michael was down 2-0 and basically played the Boston Red Sox to Don's New York Yankees. Came all the way back.
No. It was the Yankees against the Indians in 2017.
Okay, sorry. You wanted to go specific the number of games.
Well, I think that's important, Michael, no?
Yeah.
I mean, I was just making
plenty
the point.
Of teams have blown a 2-0 series lead in the best of five. Happens all the time.
But it never happened in this game ever, which does make it like the Yankees and the Red Sox.
All right. Well, I'm going to be the first person ever to win a best of four. How about that? Because that's what this week is.
Wow. So you'd have to go 3-1.
That's right.
Strong. So, Don, you'll have the opportunity to start first for better or for worst.
Or okay, for worse, sickness that is. And health.
That's right. And it's time for Last One Standing. Hey, Don, who is the Jet linebacker who injured Drew Bledsoe?
Oh, jeez.
Ushered in the Tom Brady era?
God, I always get the two confused. Mo Lewis and Marvin Jones. Always forget. I can't believe I'm going to have to ask RJ right out
of
the box.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I just always confuse the two. I always forget the two.
So, Donnie, I actually had forgotten until you said it. It's Mo Lewis. Yeah. I would not have known had you not said that. It's Mo Lewis.
I would have said Mo Lewis, but yeah, that's all. Mo Lewis, final answer. That was my gut, but I don't want to go out early.
That's right. Good job. Good job, Don.
Just needed confirmation. But my boy.
Hey, Michael.
Hi.
I know you don't like Yankee questions. Puts a lot of pressure on you.
I love what you said before. I was at the game, like why he knows all of Jeter's hits. How many times he's at the game and doesn't know the answer to these questions?
All the time. The last time the Yankees finished below 500 was 1992. Who led the Yankees in home runs that year?
Oh my goodness.
That's an unfair first question.
You know what, Don? Shut your face. No offense.
I think I know, and I don't mind going out early. Let's go with Danny Tartable.
It's a great guess.
Correct.
I was going to use RJ, but he's let me down a lot lately.
Would have been a great Great mistake to go to me there.
All right, Don, you ready?
Yeah.
Who was the first African-American head coach to win a Super Bowl?
That would be Tony Dungy. I don't think there was anybody before that, so I'll say Tony Dungy, final answer.
Correct. Michael?
Yeah.
Who was the MVP of the 1969 World Series?
Ooh.
I think it was Don Clendenin.
I would be right.
That's correct.
Spirited first day. Yeah.
Hey, Don.
Uh-huh.
Where did Patrick Mahomes go to college?
Oh, my God. I don't do college. I'm not good at it.
RJ, you may know what to do.
I'm just not.
No, he already used RJ.
Yeah, no, but I think he was asking for a drop.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to phone a friend.
Oh, you really want to? You really want
Monday,
the day?
You animal?
On Tuesday. No, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
You feel better?
Right. He wants this week bad. Don,
I don't
go.
I even players on my own team.
The guy just gave a commencement speech this weekend.
I didn't.
How do you not know this?
By the way,
did
Don,
did you know the commencement speech?
Yes,
I didn't. No,
I didn't know about it. All right, let me phone a friend.
Try Hanigan?
No,
wouldn't that be horrible?
Incarcerated Bob would know this.
But I'm going to call another friend.
Oh.
Carlin.
Mr. Chris Carlin.
He'll know this. He'll laugh at you that you don't.
Oh, no.
It only
Hello?
Went
oh.
I'm not good with college, Chris. I just, for some reason, just do not... That does not resonate with me memory-wise. So my question to you
today... He doesn't remember what college he went to.
I don't remember what college I went to. Where did Pat Mahomes go to school?
Oh, Pat Mahomes went to Texas Tech.
Okay. Well, you know what? I trust you empirically.
Yes, you should.
Empirically? I don't know.
Empirically.
If that's... All right.
I think you made the right choice All right. of calling on today.
So,
wrong choice of word, but
Texas
right choice
Tech.
Of calling.
Right, right.
Final answer. Thank you, Chris. And I don't remotely feel bad because even after he gave me it, I still don't know.
Correct. Texas Tech. Michael?
Mm-hmm.
On his famous reception in Super Bowl 42, David Tyree had to fight off this feisty New England Patriot defender.
Rodney Harrison.
Wow.
Wow.
Michael's actually ahead because he hasn't had to use any lifelines.
All right,
so
Don.
I don't feel like I belong, so. All right, go ahead. I don't do college. I don't.
In the 2016 NL wild card playoff game.
Right.
This San Francisco Giant hit a 3-run homer in the ninth to break a 0-0 tie against the Mets.
That would be one Connor Gillespie. Final answer.
Correct.
I was there.
Michael, four basketball players have scored more total points than Michael Jordan. Can you name three of them?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Karl Malone. And Wilt Chamberlain.
Kareem is correct. Karl Malone is correct.
Wilt's wrong.
Wilt is not on the list. We would have also taken LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. Don wins the Tuesday edition in a spirited last one.
I feel
but
better
did he really
because,
win? Did he really
well,
win?
Well, I mean, listen, the Connor Gillespie, that was a good poll.
But we knew you. That's up
I
your
mean,
alley.
You're married to a woman who's obsessed.
That's right.
With the
but
Giants.
But it happened. Did you know it was Connor Gillespie?
Yeah, of course. We've had that question before.
What do you mean we've had?
Not
it
in this game. You haven't.
Yeah, you've questioned me about that before.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would that ever come up in conversation?
Wow.
I don't feel great about it.
Although it's a win, Peter, it's a loss for him. Him not knowing Mo Lewis is terrible.
Well, he knew.
Him
he
not knowing Texas Tech is somewhat.
No, I honestly, right now, I don't. If you ask me again, I'm not. I wouldn't say Texas
what
Tech with 100%.
Would Pat Mahomes go to?
I don't do college. I'm serious. Ask me another easy one. I bet you I won't get it.
This is a new
form. What college did Reggie Bush go to?
USC.
Say you do college.
Well, that was just because he had everything stripped from him. Go ahead. Throw another one out.
Where did Peyton Manning go to college?
Tennessee. Come on. It's all right. Maybe I didn't do that.
You're a college man. You're a man of college.
That's right.
For more than 80 years, Nissan has been there for you. And now is no different. We're offering flexible payment options for current NMAC customers. Our service departments are here to help. And for future owners, we're now offering more help. Deferred payments for 3 months on 11 models. Plus, we'll cover your payments for up to 2 additional months. Plus, get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on 10 models. This is help when you need it. Visit NissanUSA.com today to learn more. Nissan, innovation that excites. Offers available to well-qualified buyers on purchase of an eligible 2020 Nissan from new dealer stock when financed through Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Subject to NMAC credit approval and max term limit. Subject to residency restrictions. NMAC special APR cash amount is capped and varies by vehicle from $500 to $2,000, which customer can apply toward up to 2 monthly payments. Customer is responsible for all payments. Delayed payment must begin 90 days from date of contract. Accrual of interest commences from contract date and consumer responsible for accrued interest. Dealer participation may vary. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, including list of eligible models and service availability. Offers end 6-120.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. This is the Michael K. Show.
So you get all the fans of your team to contact the team and donate $20 to COVID-19 relief. And what you get for that $20, you send in a headshot. The team then blows up the headshot and they have cutout bodies in all the seats and the stands that are viewable on camera. And you put fans' heads on the body. So it becomes a thing.
What you just said
is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
At no point during your rambling,
incoherent response,
were you even close to anything
that could be considered a rational thought.
Everyone listening
is now dumber
for having listened to it.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so the first day of negotiations when it comes to the economics of baseball took place today, and according to all the people that cover the sport, it did not go well. As first reported by USA Today, MLB's plan is to have a sliding scale so that those who make the least in 2020 would receive the most, and those who have the richest contracts would receive a smaller fraction of their salaries. Now, according to Joel Sherman, there also would be a kicker in which the players receive a greater percentage of the salaries if the postseason is played. MLB receives the lion's share of its national TV money from the playoffs. Joel goes on to say one person who had been briefed on the proposal said the expectation is that players due to make $1 million or less in 2020 would be made close to whole on a prorated basis for games played. Thus, if some were making the MLB 2020 minimum of $563,500 and there are 82 regular season games played, they would receive roughly half their pay, $282,000. But players at the top of the pay chain, such as Garrett Cole and Mike Trout, would get less. If that were in the 50% range, as an example, then Cole, who is due $36 million this year, would receive half of about the $18 million he would be due for half a season, or roughly $9 million. Now, according to all of those that are commenting on this, the Players Association, red hot. In a tweet, Joel went on to say, MLBPA sees what MLB offered today as massive pay cuts on top of the half of year pay lost already. The union is discouraged by the offer. He goes on to say the union says the proposal involves massive additional pay cuts, and the union is extremely disappointed. The union also said the sides are far apart on the health and safety protocols. The union is not commenting on it as if this is a dead end to negotiations on this concept or if there's room to bargain. The union plan is to return to players for their thoughts before deciding whether to negotiate further on the financial concept. At present, Major League Baseball and the Players Union do not have a time for a next formal negotiation. Informally, there continues to be talks on health and safety, plus rules, roster size, playoffs, etc. But of course, there is no return unless they work out the financial component. I said at the beginning of the show, this is moving week. There's going to be a lot of negativity last week, which there was. A lot of posturing, which there was. And now they're going to have to hammer this out. So before everybody gets down, let's see how the rest of the week plays out. If they continue to stand at an impasse and neither side moves, then we have to get concerned about playing this season. But I will tell you this. The people in the Baseball Players Union, Manfred, the owners, while all this is going on, Gary Bettman has a press conference and tells you that NHL regular season is over. 24 teams are making the playoffs. There'll be a hub for two conferences, and they'll play all their games in that respective hub. Then I guess they get together then to play the Stanley Cup Finals when one team comes out of each hub. I don't know where that's going to be played, but there is going to be hockey unless something changes health-wise in this country.
Right.
And the NBA looks like it's zeroed in on Disney World, where they will play all the playoff games there. I'm not sure if there will be any regular season games, but it looks like they're going to play. And as I said, Players Union, smart. Owners, smart. Manfred, smart. Football looks like it's going to play its season. NASCAR has gotten restarted. Golf is going to get restarted next week. If all of this happens and baseball doesn't play because they couldn't come to an agreement on money, the fallout to me, I can't even begin to tell you what the fallout's going to be. It is so shameful, but I am not going to get down. I'm going to repeat what I said weeks ago. I believe this will get done. There'll be a lot of ugliness. There'll be a lot of resentment. But at some point, somebody's going to come to their senses and say, we got to play. Somehow we got to play. We can't just walk away from the table. But time is running out. The sands in the hourglass, they are a precious few right now. This has to get done, I think, sometime by the beginning of next week if they want to start the season on July 1st. If not, that doesn't mean it's over, but means you're going to start it sometime in the middle of July, end of July, postseason then goes into November, a second spike, all of a sudden, get have problems about finishing the postseason, it would all be a waste of time. I think this is just one ugly day, and they will come to an agreement. That's my feeling.
See, there's a bunch of things at play here. First of all, you can look at one end of it and say they might have more time than they thought, because just looking at the proposal that Gary Bettman just announced, that it looks like training camps will open sometime in mid-July. So they'll have small gatherings on the ice in June, and then I guess once the testing is available, they can up the camps in mid-July, which now you're probably looking at late July, early August for the start of the playoffs. So baseball could have time to get everything ready before that. So they might have a little bit of time that they didn't think they have. But you just mentioned something when you were just talking about a second spike, which is anticipated for like October or November. See, the NBA and the NHL are going to be done. Right? They're going to award their champion sometime in September, right? And then they're willing to delay the start of their next season. A, because they need time for rest for an off season, and B, at least from the NHL standpoint, from what I hear, is they would like to start next season with fans in the building. So they might wait until December or January to start next season. So, Michael, even if baseball does get started before baseball and basketball, they may run into a problem come playoff time. If there's a second spike, are things going to get shut down again? Like, how deep in October do you want to really play? You already play till the end of October as is. You even if you're able to find neutral site places, do you want to be playing deep into November when there could be a second spike? That just might add a whole level of problems for you at the most important time of your season. So wouldn't it be better for them to get this thing over with as soon as possible so they can avoid having to play deep into November?
Now let's listen to some of what Bettman said. Here's Bettman explaining that 24 teams are going to return.
When the given go-ahead from the medical experts and the relevant government authorities is given, 24 of our 31 teams will resume play. The top 12 in each conference as ranked by percentage points from our standings as they stood through the games of March 11th when we paused our season as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The remaining seven teams will enter the draft lottery.
Now, from what I've heard, Don, and read, Tampa Bay and Carolina voted against this.
Yes.
Because they say it's unfair to them that, you know, the teams that get the bye are at a disadvantage, and the teams that are actually in the playoffs are going to have to play a best of five to actually get into the playoffs, and they don't think that's right. Now, Bettman goes on to talk about how many personnel will travel per team.
We expect that our clubs will be permitted to travel a maximum of 50 personnel to their hub city. A very limited number of support staff will be able to access the event level at each venue. A comprehensive system of testing will be in place in each hub city.
And he finishes up with the rollout, the four-phase plan the NHL has to return.
We are currently in phase one of our pause, during which clubs have been instructed to self-isolate as much as possible and have done so. In early June, we expect to be able to enter phase two, during which clubs can return to their individual practice facilities for voluntary small group on and off ice training. Yesterday, we released a comprehensive protocol that will govern how we will operate in phase two. Phase three will be the opening of formal training camps. The timing of our entry into phase three again will be determined by guidance from medical and civil authorities. While we are anxious to open camps as soon as possible, we don't envision doing so before the first half of July. Finally, when appropriate, we will move to phase four, in which our participating clubs will report to their respective hub cities and we will resume play. Obviously, we anticipate playing over the summer and into the early fall.
Well, there you have it. Now, one other thing to note about baseball, and John Heyman brings this up. By offering to pay less expensive players a higher percentage of their prorated salary, more players may like this plan. There's more players that make a low amount of money than there are Garrett Coles and Mike Trout. However, the biggest stars would take some rather large pay cuts, even per game. Now, a few on the player side are suggesting it's an attempt by the owners to divide the union. Boy, ugliness. Just ugliness. But again, it's the first economic proposal. I wouldn't get too down about it. I believe it will work out. I really do. But it's such a bad look that every other sport, they don't have any discussions whatsoever when it comes to money. It's all about protocol. But baseball, batting back and forth the money aspect of it, and it makes everybody look bad, the owners and the players.
Well, they're looking bad now. You know, like Gary Bettman's having his announcement, I would think that Adam Silver at some point this week in the next few days is probably going to have a similar announcement. And now everything coming out of those two leagues are going to be positives of players reporting to their facilities. We're already getting information that the Brooklyn Nets are starting to report to their facility. And any news coming out of baseball is going to be negative and about money. It's going to really look bad. Now, the NHL's got 10 potential hub cities. The West will play in one, the East will play in the other. But looking at the list, Michael, there are only three Eastern Conference teams that are in the hub list. The other seven are Western Conference: Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Vegas, Los Angeles, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. Those are the cities that are being debated. The top four teams will play a round robin to determine seeding. So that'll answer the rust question, Michael, that they'll at least be playing games while the other teams are trying to play in. The other teams will play a best of five. They have not determined what the first two rounds of the playoffs would be. Could be a best of five, could be a best of seven. Conference final and Stanley Cup final will be a best of seven. So I guess that's going to be determined on when they start, because they can always lessen the first two rounds to a best of five if they're running out of time. And that's where you stand right now. The draft lottery, the seven teams that missed will be in it. The other eight will be determined by who gets knocked out of that preliminary round. And then they'll have the draft its first phase on in June 26th. So
all right,
there you go.
Let's Let's take some phone calls about what you're thinking about both of these things and that are breaking.
Can I just add one
right
little
now?
Thing, Michael?
Of course.
Is that we talk a lot about how big a mistake this would be for baseball. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget about potentially if the NHL moves quicker than anyone, how big a moment it could be for the NHL.
Yeah, look how big it is for golf. Look
That's
how big
I'm saying.
It's going to be for NASCAR. You're
right. And we all know, Don, anyone who's ever participated in the NHL playoffs at all, and I know it won't be the same without a crowd, but still, the style of play and how frantic it is, there's no product you want to show off more if you're the NHL than the playoffs. So the fact that they could be the first sport out of the gate and jump right to meaningful hockey, tremendous opportunity.
Let's go to Madrid in New Jersey. Madrid.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I just wanted to talk about how they're proposing to pay the players less than what they're really supposed to make. It doesn't make sense. If they're gonna play half of the season and still cut half of the pay, like, it doesn't make sense how you said what Gerrit Cole would be making 18 if they cut it in half and then propose to make 9 if they play 82 games. I would never accept that if I was a player.
Well, they probably won't, but what they're saying is, okay, if we're going to play half the season, we can't pay Gerrit Cole $18 million because we have no fans in the stands and 40% of our revenue comes from gate. Now, whether you want to believe that or not, that's what they're working off of. And by appealing to the players that make less money, if it goes to a vote, they might actually get the requisite vote, which would be interesting then. Would Mike Trout, whose wife is going to have a baby, would Gerrit Cole, whose wife is going to have a baby, say, you know what, we're good, we're out for this year. And then you do have a splintering, and that's a problem. One other note, Blake Snell, who said those really dumb things on his Twitch account, today announced that he has dropped his agent and he has hired Scott Boras to be his agent. So I don't know if there's any connection between those two.
See, there's the legal side and there's the right or wrong side. Yeah, I have no doubt that the players feel like, hey, the language says that we're supposed to get X amount of dollars. What are you trying to take it away from us? But can they really think, even though we're talking about billionaires that most people aren't going to feel sorry for, can they really think that money isn't being lost here, Michael? When they're not going to have any fans in the stands, that half their season is gone, that there isn't going to be money lost?
I guess what they're saying, Don, they know money's going to be lost, but there's been a lot of money made over the last couple of years. The price for franchises have skyrocketed. The Kansas City Royals just sold for $1 billion. So they're saying it's not like you've been scraping along. You've been doing very well, so you could take this hit. I mean, that's what they're saying.
Okay.
I think they believe that it's going to be somewhat of a hit. That they're going to have to take some kind of a hit, but they don't think it should be that much.
All right. That I guess that's fine in theory. Like, yeah, you could take this hit. We don't know how hard the hit is.
Right.
Because, yeah, we could say, hey, we're going to take a hit because we're not going to have fans this year, that half the season is gone. But we don't know the ramifications moving forward. Like, if the players aren't going to budge, Michael, ever, you're telling me that 5-6 years down the road there isn't going to be repercussions from all these things that are happening here? What's the attendance going to be like? How much money is going to be made post-pandemic? I mean, you're supposed to be partners in this thing, right? So you could just all greedy owners, they're all billionaires, so what, take the hit. We don't know how significant that hit is to the point where maybe there's some franchise that says, I have to get out of this. I'm hemorrhaging money.
Well, the owner supposedly sent them some financials over the weekend. I don't know if they sent them everything they wanted. Now, Milwaukee Brewers starting pitcher tweeted out after this all became public, interesting strategy of making the best, most marketable players potentially look like the bad guys. Right in the foot. Right in the foot.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. And now, with another journey through 80s Jersey, New Jersey.
Budweiser nips over Gypsy Pond behind Pixies.
Here's Don LaGreca.
Well, this one doesn't have anything to do with New
Beautiful
Jersey.
It song actually selection.
Has something to do with South Philly.
Ooh.
All right. I finally get an opportunity to do my first ever Rangers play-by-play game. I audition in the summer. I get the gig. I shock everybody, including myself, that I land the gig. Audition with Pete Stemkowski. I get the call. scheduled to do the fourth game of the season. The Rangers were in Stockholm for two, came home to play the Blackhawks, and then they were in Philly on a Saturday night, fourth game of the season, my first game.
Can't wait for the story.
So, I'm nervous, obviously. It's a night game, but it's a good idea for me to go to the morning skate. So, Frank Moretti and MSG thought it was a good idea that Frank be with me for the day since it was my first game. So Frank volunteers his services to stay at my house the night before so that we can go to Philly right in the morning together because
beautiful.
I live close to Philly because I'm in Central Jersey and he was out on Long Island.
You let Frank stay in your house?
So Frank stayed at my house, yes. So we get up early, drive down, and so I've got my car, my Chevy Blazer, and we go to the morning skate.
Were you playing Glory Days in the car?
No, I was not. I was probably playing some like thrash metal.
Right.
So Speed go to the metal. Morning skate. Yeah. And after the morning skate, I drive to the Rangers Hotel, which was the Four Seasons.
Don, real quick, I'm sorry. Can you give us a year on this again?
2008.
2008. So 12 years ago.
Yeah, 12
Great
years
math
ago.
Great math by you, Peter.
2008.
Thank you. And that makes you around 40 years old.
So I'm able to use the GPS to get to the Four Seasons from the at the time the Wachovia Center. So I got a day room just to kind of relax until the game starts. So I'm with Frank. So we get ready and I go down to go to the game. Now I got to drive to the game. And Dan Girardi and Ryan Callahan are in the lobby and they're inquiring about getting a cab. I think they may have missed the team bus. So they're running late. And Frank says, do you want a ride? To Ryan Callahan and Dan Girardi. I don't know them. I'm doing my first game. And they shock me and go, sure. So they get in my Chevy Blazer. And I'm like, Frank, what are you doing? We can't drive Rangers to the game. This is completely inappropriate. But they say yes. Now, my car is a locker room. I got everything laying all over the place because this is before kids. So just me and Frank, I got the back seats all full. I got a throw everything out, put it into the back seat, get them so everything's cleared up. And I got to drive now back to the Wachovia Center. But this is back before you had the GPSs in your car. I had my Magellan.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
I don't know the address to the Wachovia Center.
Of course you don't.
You can't put Wachovia Center in the Magellan and know what the heck you're talking about. So I've got to now venture. I mean, Andrew would be able to appreciate this. I'm in Philadelphia driving like in the inner city trying to get to the arena, and I don't know how to get there. And I've got two Rangers in the back seat. This is my first game. I'm like, am I going to be late? Am I going to get them to the arena late?
Were they ragging on you from the back seat?
They were in their phones. They were completely oblivious. All right, they didn't even know that there was an issue. But I didn't know that. I'm doing my first game. I'm going to get fired because the captain of the team and Dan Girardi are in my back seat, and they're late. They're running late already. Why they even agreed to go in my car, I have no idea. Frank, as you know, is no help. How's Frank?
You should
do a
whole week on Frank.
All right. So, yeah, so I'm just driving in the streets, just like looking for a sign, any indication of how to get to the Wachovia Center. I don't want to pull over and ask somebody; they'll start freaking out. So I'm trying to bump Frank. Like, can you at least look in the media guide or something to get the address? And then finally, I was able to put the address in, and we got there so late. But apparently there was no issue because they didn't get any kind of trouble or anything. Tom Rennie was the coach at the time. Like, this is like quarter to six.
And for a seven drop?
Yeah, I mean, this is because
so you're not only worried about them not getting there. Your first game, you might.
It's my first game, all right? I can't find the arena, and I've got two of the Rangers in my car.
And you got it. And then when you get there, you have to, like, find the press entrance, handle your stuff, get to your
location. I
got to
handle all my business, and you know, I'm freaking out and
Wait,
trying
was
not
Maloney
to.
Was your partner like, that day?
Yes.
So did he run in front of your car to try to distract you, too, while you're driving?
That's a great point by Michael.
He was very helpful for my first game, but and nothing came of it. They got out of the car. They didn't even realize there were any issues. They were, like, looking at their phone, I guess, that they were comfortable.
Did they thank you?
Yeah, they thanked me, and we go in, and I was like still waiting, like half doing the game, thinking, is somebody going to approach me? Is somebody going to say, you can't do that? I can't believe it, everything turned out to be just fine, but I didn't know that as I wish Andrew was there to like tell me where the heck I was.
Did you ever again ride with players to the game?
Just freaking out.
Did you hear that, Don? Did you ever again ride with players to the game?
No, I mean, I would never even think to ask. Michael, can you imagine asking a Yankee player, hey, do you want to ride to the stadium?
I think I've done that. I've done that.
To who?
I forget who it was, but, like, usually I have my car in Boston. So, like, I might leave before the first bus. And if there's, I'm sure, like, Steve Donahue, the trainer, has been with me. I'll ask, you know, would you like to have a ride? Yeah, if somebody's there. And sometimes they say, yeah.
But it's somebody you know, you have a relationship with.
It's not my first game.
I mean, I was doing pre and post a few years before, but I didn't really have any relationship with the players. And Frank just, I guess he did because he would see them for the walk-offs or whatever, but this is the beginning of the season. I don't know why they said yes.
Because they needed to get there, and it saved them money. Players are cheap.
But they almost got them late for the game, and it's my first game. Like, I need this aggravation.
Did they win?
But they won. It was the first game that I called. I everybody said I did a good job. I still.
Did Callahan or Girardi have a good game?
Girardi had 2 assists.
There you go.
But
there's your Christmas story.
Scared to death, trying to drive to my first game, shaking to begin with, and now thinking that 2 of the Rangers, including their captain, is going to be late because I can't find the Wachovia Center in wherever I was in Philadelphia. And you know, some of that area, Michael, is not great.
Yeah. Well, don't say that. Andrew gets upset.
Well, I love Philadelphia. I do. But it is what it is. I went down some pretty dark streets.
Well, hey there.
Because, you know, you get those signs that'll say Wachovia Center, make a left. You make a left, and now where are you going?
I will fight you after
this. Now there's
show.
No sign anywhere else. And
did you think about, like, trying to go to Veterans Stadium or, I guess, Citizens Bank? It's right there, right?
Yeah, but I'm in the city. So
your Magellan was in Jellin.
Well, this again. Now you can put Wachovia Center in your car, and it'll know exactly where to go. But the Magellan was you had to give the address. You put Wachovia. They don't know what a Wachovia Center is. And besides, they wouldn't do it anyway because that building changed. It's now Wells Fargo. It was Wachovia. It was Federal Union Bank or whatever it was. They was called it the FU Center, which I thought was funny. So they were changing, you know, when you name it after a bank, you know it's probably going to change every 6 months. So
that's my story. Shot at the banking business. Interesting.
Well, it's true. Unless it's
some of our big listeners are bankers.
So hopefully that was a good first one, but my first Ranger game ever, and I almost had 2 of the participants late for the game.
Peter, Judge's first Tales from the Crib.
Fantastic. Probably the best one we've had so far during quarantine.
Don't say that. It's not the best one.
It was.
But I do appreciate your enthusiasm.
It was really good. Michael, you have to admit, it was very good, better than most of yours.
I would admit it was really good. I think that some of mine have been extraordinarily good.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.